Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. In episode 4, we're going to look at the conflict between paying down debt versus saving for the future. In other words, credit cards are like quicksand. We're going to show you where the rope is to pull yourself out. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the eternal struggle between paying off your debt and saving for the future. So joining us today, we have Anne, who's going to talk a little bit about the fact that she's saving some but and paying off her debt and that struggle she's facing. And again, we have Jordan Amon on the line, who's a CPA, a certified public accountant in New Jersey. Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Anne, for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. So your personal struggle with savings versus debt.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit, Anne, like what are some of the things that you have to deal with as far as your debt? Do you have a lot of debt, a little debt? What do you fight with?
I have a lot of debt, but it doesn't have very large payments. Basically, it's college debt. So it's a manageable amount every month, but I don't know how important it is to pay it off or if I should just be doing, you know, what I can or where it fits in my priorities.
And how about savings? Do you save anything?
I do save.
Okay, what do you save? I save stamps. I save
money, but it's all in my savings and in my checking. Sadly, a lot of it's in checking as well. And I do have.
Hey, before you told me you sort of when you do save, which is amazing that you save, because a lot of people are not. As a matter of fact, they just came out with the statistic that we're at the lowest savings rate. We're below negative savings rate across the country. You're among the minority of people who are actually out there paying off debt and saving. But you told me a little bit before that the fact that you've got the savings, but you have it just in a checking or a savings account, and it's not doing a lot for you.
No, it's not. I'm basically getting a very small check, you know, or a very small amount at the end of the year, where I know it could be doing a lot more for me. When I save, it's kind of just, you know, whatever's extra, I just throw into the pot and just let it sit there and do nothing.
What's the rationale behind just leaving it there?
Well, I assume I'll do something with it as like a grand gesture at some point, you know, where I'll, you know, throw it into an IRA for $4,000 at the end of the year, or I'll, you know, throw a big chunk towards my college debt and just, you know, get some interest knocked off of there. But it's always for something in the future and nothing for today. It's a very unintentional savings, you know. It's kind of what is left over is put aside, and I try, you know, not to spend everything I have, but at the same time, I'm not saying I'm going to put aside X every month. It's just whatever's there is there. And if I do want to buy something, I just buy it and don't really worry or think about it too much.
Like the iPhone,
yeah.
I so want one of those. I so want one. You know what? Actually, in the grand gesture, I have given up my cell phone in order to save money this year. And everyone looks at me like you are absolutely insane.
Which but I'm doing to you right now because yeah. That is crazy.
I'm the only one. And every time, especially even my sister, she's like, what are you thinking? And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to save about $1,200 this year by not having a cell phone. And when you think about that, you think, wow, that's $1,200. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I could use to help pay off some of my debt, which I've talked about in the past with my college debt. And we own a house and the whole thing. So, Jordan, jump in anytime. It's this continual struggle between what you can save and what you can pay off in your debt. And where do you make the choices? How do you make those determinations?
Well, I think it's an interesting point that I picked up when Anne was giving us a little bit about her her savings and debt history, was that you know, you're putting a little bit away each month and you're waiting to make a grand gesture, and you use the comment either, you know, $4,000 into your IRA or a large chunk to pay off your college debt. And I think it's somewhat of a misconception that we need to have a large sum of money in order to make a dent in our savings or our debt. You know, there's a lot of mutual funds that they do require a sizable investment up front, but sometimes it's $1,000 or $1,500, and then it's perfectly acceptable to invest another $50 or $100 every month and kind of get the money in there working for you in advance, as opposed to waiting till you have a big chunk. Because I find from my experience, when you wait till you have a sizable amount, to put somewhere. You know, as Ann said, you know, at the end of the year, she earned a few dollars in interest, but nothing real sizable. I think that if we take those smaller pieces and do it on a monthly or a quarterly basis, the interest compounds and it really starts to grow a lot faster. And when you see the benefits of that, you get more excited and more proactive about saving. The same can be said on the debt side as well. Personally with my mortgage, I pay an extra, couple dollars a month to principal, whatever the payment ends in, $89, I add an extra 11 to round it up to 100. And, I'm paying that every month and it's knocking down the balance and I'm not really thinking about it. And over time, it's really going to eat that down.
Now, I know not thinking about it is what makes me save and pay down debt much more easily. My 401k, for years, I'll put 15% off the top I've been putting into my 401k. And it's only because I can't have to think about it. If I actually thought about the fact that I was putting money away, I guess I'd be stressing out because I have other debt I want to be paying off. So it's that struggle that goes back and forth.
And that's true, and that's why a lot of these automatic investment programs, you sign up to put, $50, $100, whatever it might be away, it comes right out of your bank account the same time every month, and you learn to live without it. You don't even miss it after you do it once or twice. Your savings habits for most people will adjust to that. It's something that you're doing. And, the 401k is also a great thing. It's tax-free. Or tax deferred, rather. You pay the tax on it when you take the money out sometime, retirement in the future. And the other thing is most of our employers give us a match up front, 2% or 3%, whatever it might be. And, I always ask people that don't put into their 401k, if your employer came to you and said, I want to give you a 3% raise, would you say no?
Yeah, no way. No way. But let me ask you, what if you have a fair amount of debt, like so much so that you're actually having trouble making payments? What's better? If Anne's having problems, and she's not, but if she's having problems making payments versus saving the money in the 401k, which one do you choose? I mean, the power of compounding, it swings both ways.
Absolutely. I think that everyone has to make that choice of what they're comfortable living with. Some people can't stay awake with debt. Other people like myself can't stay awake if I don't have, I can't go to sleep at night, rather, if I don't have savings. So I think it's important to make that choice, and it doesn't have to be all or nothing. If you can spare, $200 a month and you put $100 away into savings and pay $100 down in your debt, you're feeding both pieces and you're taking advantage of tax deferral and compound interest rates and you're also keeping your debt from spiraling out of control.
What about for Anne with that money that she has now? You said you don't need to have a lot of money to do something that might either monthly or quarterly have a greater payback than the 0.002% she's getting on her savings account. What are some of the options that she has?
Well, the first thing would be you should have some cash on hand for an emergency fund for something unexpected, home repair, loss of your job, who knows what may come up. So you should leave something in savings. But the next piece is what you can do is, depending on your situation, you can open an IRA, certainly, which you'll get some tax-deferred benefit from that. The second thing is open up a mutual fund. They have Money Magazine, all of these different sources on the Internet. They offer advice for where to invest your money. Pick a mutual fund, put a few dollars in it, and add, $50 a month or $200 a quarter, whatever that leftover amount is that you're ending up with. Figure out what that number is and put that away each month, and you'll start to see when you get those quarterly and annual statements that it's really, it really is a powerful thing and it takes on a life of its own.
All right, that's a wrap on episode 4 of the Feed the Pig podcast. Hey, check out episode 5 where we're going to talk about compulsive spending, compulsive spending, compulsive spending. Jordan Amon works for Amper, Polizziner, and Mattia, a CPA firm in the New York, New Jersey region. And if you're looking for more information on ways to save, check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. And if you want to talk to us and email us some questions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at feedthepig@gmail.com. That's feedthepig@gmail.com. And even better, we do have the Feed the Pig line. That's 206-600-4655. That's right. You can leave us a voicemail on the Feed the Pig line, 206-600-4655.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or FeedThePig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and FeedThePig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and FeedThePig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.